We go to the phone lines now as we have State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Groney, and how did you and Barb enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday?
Not all the kids there, but one older grandchild. But
hey, that's awesome.
A pretty good group.
That's pretty good, particularly
in beautiful weather. We went out and wasted a couple $100 of bullets and target shooting. That took about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long in today's world to waste that much money and ammunition.
No, it's sad, but we had a good time.
Good. Glad to hear.
Glad to see you're raising them right, Mike.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it. Even had a bow and arrow out there.
Oh, really?
Oh, very good.
Have an archer in the family.
You might run out of bullets someday, you know. So
that's
anyway.
True.
Now, Senator Groney, before we talk about things from a legislative standpoint, let's talk a little bit about Sustainable Beef LLC, if you don't mind. You were in attendance and one of the individuals that testified at last week's public hearing with the North Platte Planning Commission, sir.
Yes, I made it clear. I've come to the conclusion that, you know, it's the North Platte needs, where the whole region needs to grow. And it really fed into me during the redistricting debate. We're losing population in rural Nebraska, and you're naturally conservative when you're out there taking care of yourself, when you're taking care of your own needs because the government isn't cleaning your streets and flying you with food and picking your kids up a bus. And the less of us we have, the less freedom we have. So we have to work together to try to grow the community, grow the population, keep rural Nebraska viable. And I see no better fit than agriculture and its related industries. And like I've said, the stars are in alignment. The way everything came together, local ownership, medium-sized plant, one shift, we're going to get an influx of citizens that can be absorbed in the community without harming the community. In Lexington, they were just totally overwhelmed with a culture change and school system. Same thing happened in other cities like Holcomb, Kansas, and Dodge City. We're not going to be there. I mean, we're going to have 800-some employees. They're going to wear blue jeans, and they're going to raise their families, and they're good people. They got to show up for work every day. They don't have a job. And it's anchor jobs, you know. All this stuff about tiffing hotels for $9 an hour jobs, or maybe it's more than that now because you can't hire anybody, or for restaurants, or for box stores. Those aren't anchor jobs. That doesn't give one person in the family a good paying job with good insurance so the second person can go out and do one of those other jobs in the hotel industry or in the restaurant industry. That's the reason we don't have enough. We're losing population, plus we don't have anybody to fill the jobs. You have to, all economic development to me should always be based on anchor jobs, period. That's, if you're going to spend a dime of tax dollars, that's where you spend it. You don't spend it to build houses for people who don't live here. And that's what we were doing, trying to keep our HVAC contractors, electricians viable as companies. We were building houses so they could continue to employ their people, but they're secondary service jobs to the anchor job. A railroad's an anchor job. Agriculture's an anchor job.
Sure.
A packing plant's an anchor job. The rail park, anything they could bring in there, manufacturing and warehousing, would be anchor jobs. Then you have the subsidiary jobs. That's how an economy works and grows and a community grows. That's why I'm so high on this packing plant. And I understand the people who live nearby. I've moved once because I progress. If we're going to be pro-life and we're going to have more humans on this earth, folks are going to have to make room for them. Might not like it, but that's reality. Anyway, I measured all my beliefs and all my concerns, and it's a heck of a plant. It's a heck of an ideal.
And the game changer.
One more hurdle, and then Go ahead.
A game changer for the area, too, kind of like you said, Senator Groney. And it hit a lot with me, you talking a little bit about how it kind of hit with you when we were talking about the redistricting process, how Western Nebraska is losing population. But, hey, that could change by the next census if we keep going the way that we are.
Well, redoing the Canton district is nice, but that doesn't bring major jobs. All that stuff is finally we're doing. I'm really happy. When I first moved to North Platte, I always use this term, good old boys. Everything had to go through a certain individual. Everything had to be, they had to get their piece of it before anything happened. They had to own the land out on the interstate. I really see a change in the community with who's on the city council, who our mayor is, who our economic development leads, our economic development department. Now, they are all, none of them are looking for their back pocket. None of them are looking for their friends. All of them are looking in the best interest of the community, and look what happens when that happens in a community. I really see a change. It took a while. When I first started going to make a public comment at the city council and stuff, I got out by the police because I opened my mouth. That whole attitude has changed in this community. And we're going to grow. I mean, now, if I'm still alive and it hits 50,000 or 60,000, the community gets as big as Grand Island, then I'll be an anti-growth person. You know, we all have still want to remain rural. But anyway, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And so we'll see what happens. Those folks working in the packing plants are going to think like we do. I guarantee they're not going to be vegetarians. And they're going to hunt and fish, and they're going to join our churches, and they'll be good people.
Yeah, like-minded individuals. It's a natural extension of our local economy that's already existing.
It is. It's going to help the ag because it's going to keep down on the basis costs of trucking, and for the cattle feeders out here, it's going to help the cow calf people because they feed the cattle feeders and corn growers. It's just all. As I said, all the subsidiary jobs underneath agriculture, the implement dealers, the car dealers, everybody, the restaurant industry, they all feed off of that. But you got to have the anchor jobs. And that's why I look at it. I just don't think it's going to be a problem with the community at all. I have a sharper pen than I have my mouth sometimes. When I said at the hearing the other day, I do smell. I meant the verb form, not the noun form.
That was funny. Rick, Mike had accidentally paused soon after, too. I smell, and so it was some good comic relief we had at the senator's expense.
I do have a good sense of smell, I guess it's better. COVID didn't take it away from me.
And a sense of humor,
yeah,
Mike.
It was quite comic.
I
enjoyed the comic relief personally.
yeah. Anyway, that's why I don't give Biden too bad timing. Her brain works faster than her mouth. We understand.
Oh,
I don't know
golly.
About him. It might work slower than his mouth, but whatever. But no, it's I'm going to leave office feeling pretty good about what's going on in North Platte.
Sure.
In a year that, and I don't think it's going to end. We're going to try it, and then papers made it. You know, said I'm trying to get. I said up to 70. I'm going to shoot high at 75 million. Ask for ARPA money. That don't mean we'll get that. Everybody and their dog is putting in money, putting in proposals for that ARPA money. I just happen to believe this one fits what I think Congress, President Biden, wanted the ARPA money to be spent for. It's just makes sense. So I'm gonna, we're putting our wish list in, and so is, it's not just me. I'm just part of the process, but it's the Cattlemen Association, the Farm Bureau, they've all told the governor's budget people that this is the top of their list, too, of also projects that they would prioritize. They want infrastructure. They're smart. They don't want handouts like in the past where the COVID money was just mailed to everybody with a check. Well, that doesn't promote longevity and economic success. That's just an instant fix. for a day or two. But to put in, to create jobs, good paying jobs, to help an industry fix a bottleneck in the production system, that is good. And then to use it for water, you know, sewage and flood alleviation and stuff, it fits too. So, you know, you start high and you hope you get some. But I think we might somehow get some of that funds. And it doesn't have to be to the government entity. It actually can go directly to a private entity that ARPA funds. Because the government entity's already got theirs. They city got a check, so did the county. And taxpayers ought to be paying attention how that money is spent. I haven't heard a lot about it yet, but I've heard some ideals they want to spend it for, but that's not related to this. There's another billion one out there to try to it's a rescue plan for the economy, not for government. So, anyway.
And Senator Groney, speaking of TIF on this project in general, you spoke at the Planning Commission meeting last Tuesday saying that this is one of the best TIF projects that you've seen in your experience.
Yeah, if anybody's followed it, I don't understand the simple, who don't understand deductive reasoning. I think TIF was a good program. It was done in the 70s, when in the 60s and 70s, I was a kid then and a teenager, when the riots were going on in the cities and the inner core of cities were rotting, and they used to call them the slums. And everybody was building on the outside to donate. It was a program to revitalize, to tell investors to build here in this burned out area, in this old area of town. If you do that, we will alleviate your property taxes. But if you go out and build on the interstate, no, we're not going to do that. This TIF fits it to a T. You have an area that's been in the town over 60 years. It was a sewer lagoon that was filled in. Nobody in their right mind was going to build there. You weren't going to build a hotel there next to an existing city sewage treatment plant. Nobody was. You weren't going to build a warehouse there. You weren't going to build I couldn't think of another industry you would build there.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, I don't. So you build it. It's sitting there, vacant land. You could put a packing plant there. It fits the old catchphrase in there, but for. Would you build it here without TIF? No. They wouldn't have. They wouldn't have built it at all. They would have went to another city that had a better tract of land that wasn't down by the, in the valley or near the floodplain. And, it fits. It absolutely fits them. So it fits the definition of TIF to a T. But I said, you know, my comments too then about building housing out on vacant land. No, that I'll fight those types of tests to the day I bury me. But it fits. So they even agreed to pay some taxes, the property taxes on it, when they really didn't need to, because it was government owned, so it had no value. So it could have had a zero value and had no basis in it at all, but they're going to pay some taxes. So it's actually going to get more property taxes than it did in the past. That's not usually what happens with a TIF project. But anyway, no, I wish them the best. I mean, I visited with some of them. Reality is starting to set in. You know, the city each of us has to make a decision if we want it part of our community, but now the financial burden and to make that thing work is going to be sitting heavy on some local cattle feeders' shoulders. So a lot of details. Are you going to market it? Are you going to transport it? Hiring all those folks, hiring management to run the place. That's going to be long nights and long days to get that thing fully operational by what they say 2023, I believe. They want it operational, and I can see them doing it, but a lot of work.
Absolutely. Again, we have Nebraska State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update here, discussing the latest news that's going to impact District 42. Senator Groney, anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
Well, it's starting to wind up, and people are getting their bills ready to be presented. A lot of that's going to happen in the educational area. I think you asked me about it last week. Strong supporter of that petition to get rid of the Board of Education. Matt Bloomstead needs to disappear. The commissioner, he needs to be fired. Hopefully, we get some new board members. He was quoted in the World Herald about race. As far as I'm concerned, if you bring race into equation, you are a racist. And but the liberals don't believe that. They think they're helping people. As long as they got their job, as long as they got their position and their high salary, then anything down below them, they'll help people. There's some things need to happen there, and there'll be a lot of bills brought on that issue. So we'll see what happens. I met with the speaker the other day, and I just told him I'm not going to be with you unless we do the social issues this year. We get it out on the floor at the. We can't let 17 liberals, 49 senators dictate what we do. We've done that too long. We need to bring bills to the floor on vaccine mandates and personal freedom and what's taught in our schools. And we need to pull it to the out of the committee if they're going to try to hold it up. And we need to put their feet to the fire. We need to force them to vote on it. If they want to kill the bill, fine. But they're going to be vote to show who are the anarchists, who are the CRT supporters, and instead of them just hiding in the background, destroying efforts of those who want America to remain great. So anyway, we got a kind of fun year ahead of us. So anyway, but. Hopefully everybody still enjoys my column. Pretty much laid it out what the University of Nebraska is trying to do. Pure and simple racism. You can't say it any other way. Anytime you first look at a person, you first look at an individual and try to detain what their race is, and then you decide the next step is the qualification is racism. Period. Simple. And that's what they plan on doing. What they've done, the liberal left has done for the last, since Johnson, and destroyed any relationship that was happening between the races to coexist as one. But that'll be part of it too. University budget might be a little bit dinged for what they did. Some folks are upset about it, but that's consequences. You want to be a government bureaucrat and go against the will of the people, well, you should have some consequences. And the university, it's about time the university had a few. But I'm just one senator. All right?
Senator Groney, as always, we appreciate the time. Have a great week, sir, and we'll talk to you again this coming Monday.
Yep, will do. Talk to you later.